All right, Mace. So John brought it up. We were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
Today is the 21st anniversary of Robert Horry knocking down that shot against the Kings.
Sure.
Right? And by the way, not just one of the great shots, one of the great videos of all time where you see everybody in Staples Center jump to their feet as the ball goes through. Just an unbelievable overhead shot of the whole place.
Yes.
It was his baptism to sometimes sports is the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine was Jack Clark hitting a home run off of Tom Niedenfuhr in 1985, mm-hmm. NLCS, first base open. The only guy on the roster that could actually hit the ball out of the ballpark.
He threw him a strike right down the middle.
Right down the middle and hit halfway up the left field pavilion, and that was the end of that Dodger season.
Right,
what is yours?
So it's not really a baptism. Like, I can go back and think of individual games, right? Like the Super Bowl and, was it 1980, I think, Rams. We were leading at halftime and lost to the Steelers.
You're leading at the end of three quarters, I think.
And that was a super bummer. This is the story I'll tell. So my best friend and I, Don Harris, went to every USC game for years and years and years. And Don, the late, great Don Harris, hail fellow well met, had cancer. And so we went through great, great effort, wheelchairs and all kinds of stuff to get him to a game back in 2014. And it was going to be his last game, 2015, his very last game. And so Pat Hayden was really nice about it. He said, oh, you can sit in our box. And so we're up there. And so I don't know if you remember this game, but USC had a lead and Jalen Strong was a wide receiver for Arizona State. I think the quarterback was Matt Berkovich, if I'm not mistaken. Trojans had a lead. It came down to a Hail Mary. Perfect Hail Mary. Lost that game 38-34, and it was devastating. And it was Don's last game. And it was awful. It was an awful experience. But losing that way is really painful.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. It's what makes the good stuff the good stuff, I guess, right?
Exactly.
If you didn't care, it wouldn't hurt like that.
And by the way, we saw national championships with Don and I did, so we saw lots of great stuff. That happened to be the last one.
The Miami football game for you with UCLA has to be on the list.
Well, except that you could see it coming from a mile away. We had a terrible defense that year, yet it didn't matter because I'm not making the scope go back and look at it. We averaged 41 points a game. So our defense could be terrible and it wouldn't matter.
And this was the hurricane game, right?
Yeah,
it was supposed to be in September.
Yeah, and the reason that will always stick in my mind is, so I got married on January 2nd of that year. So I had two honeymoons in place. If UCLA, I was a sideline reporter for UCLA football.
Oh, okay.
If UCLA went to the national championship game, I was going one place.
Yep.
And if they didn't go to the national championship game, I was going someplace else. So when that started to turn into a track meet, I said, we'll just outscore them. And they just kept scoring. Edger and James ran wild. And they kept scoring when we scored. And I went, we may have run out of luck here. And sure enough, we did.
Well, you remember the year USC was undefeated going into the last game of the year. And it was against UCLA. And we lost like 13-12 or
14-11.
13-9. I knew it was
John David Booty.
Awful game. That was an awful game. I mean, I can think
probably the highlight of Carl Durrell's coaching career.
That was huge.
The one and only.
Yeah. I mean, game seven of the World Series, 2018 Super. I mean, there are so many games, but losing does. And like, for example, with the case of the Rams, 2018 Super Bowl, we flew to Atlanta. We did all this stuff and it was a terrible loss. And
that was a terrible loss, but it didn't get ripped out of your hands.
You
just lost.
Although
the
we
game.
Were right there, had Brandon Cooks made that one catch, not that I'm stuck in a moment, but had Brandon Cooks made that one catch,
come
we were in the game.
Ball. Come back to the
exactly,
ball.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But that's what makes winning all the sweeter, right? I mean,
there's a whole
Taylor wouldn't know anything about that, but losing does make the winning sweeter.
Talk about ripped out of your hands. There's a whole state full of people that the reason the Rams were in the Super Bowl is because they had it ripped out of their hands.
Exactly.
Tommy Lee Lewis,
right?
Yeah. With Nickell Robey-Coleman.
Nickell laid him out like a waffle in the frying. How's that, John? How's that?
Laid him out like a Waffle House frying pan.
Exactly.
John,
exactly.
Do you agree when Michael says, he always says that he'd rather get blown out than lose by one or two?
No, completely disagree. Have always disagreed with him. I think it's idiotic. I would never. I want to play my best, and if my best doesn't win, not my day. I never want to lose by 50.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't.
Michael
want to
says
be...
no, because his point is, If you lose by one, you remember it the rest of your life. If you get blown out, you forget it the next day.
Although there is, if you're getting blown out, you just kind of go numb, right? You go numb and you don't really feel.
We don't bring up any of those memories with our teams, right? Where we're saying, "Oh, when we lost by 35, no, we're only bringing up the heartbreakers."
Okay, so I got one for us, and I was in the building. I know you were in the building too. SC Texas Rose Bowl.
Well, okay, I think this is where you're going, but I've never forgotten this because Mason and I were sitting next to each other. For some reason, they gave us these unbelievable media seats.
Okay.
We were on like the 40-yard line.
And they were outside. It was a beautiful night.
We were basically
on the east side of the stadium.
We were in the stands like 30 rows up. We're looking at each other on credentials, and we're like, how did we get these seats?
That's amazing.
So right in the middle of the game, it's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Reggie Bush.
The lateral.
To a white guy who hadn't had a carry all year.
It's like a fullback
or something. Yeah, like a guy, and the guy was so shocked he dropped it. Texas picked up the ball and SC never recovered.
So that, to going back to the blowout or have a, the reason that, not just because Vince Young was unstoppable that night, which he was, but it literally, it's that play that you're talking about. It's the decision, the Lendell White play that they got stuffed and turned it back over. It wasn't even the play call. It was the fact that Reggie Bush wasn't even on the field.
Something that both Sark and Lane refused to admit was a mistake to this day.
It was.
And
it was
and
a mistake.
It's
undeniable.
Okay, so I want to circle back to
that. Don't you keep going through that 10,000 times more than if you just got housed? And
yeah, but I don't care. The Mason and I say it, and we were the SC station at that point, and you said it was already out of it, so we were both rooting for USC that day because we were going to go on the next day and get monster ratings. We had the SC games on our station back then, and we looked at each other at the end of that game. And we went, I think that's the best game I've ever seen.
Me too.
Yeah. And our team lost.
Yeah, it was the team I was rooting for lost. And yet I've come to respect that game and that Vince Young performance.
The performance.
It was just a magnificent night.
It was so good. It's the second greatest thing I've ever seen with my own two eyes. The
were you just there as a fan that day?
We go every year to the Rose Bowl. That's kind of our family
tradition.
That's
your family tradition.
So, but the best thing I ever saw with my two eyes was the first time Holyfield knocked out Tyson
because nobody saw it coming.
There wasn't a person in the world that thought Mike Tyson was going to lose that fight. And Holyfield, I'll never, ever forget it. Opening round, right? And buddy of mine, this baseball teammate of mine, worked for Don King and gave us the seats that you had for the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I had those for that fight.
Right.
I was five rows behind ringside.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Which is awesome.
Unbelievable. So the bell rings.
Good.
He comes racing. Mike Tyson, remember how ding, 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 and he'd run across the ring.
Yep.
And he'd hit you with a flurry. And 9 out of 10 times, guy goes down.
Marvis Frazier, so done in 30 seconds.
He goes across the ring, whap, 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 whap. And Holyfield goes, doesn't even take a backward step.
Right.
He's just, and you could feel it in the moment. Mike goes, oh, man, I got to fight this guy.
Yeah.
And you could feel it in the moment. Like, the first time Mike had run into somebody in a long time that wasn't scared of him. And then that rest of the night, Holyfield just chopped him down until he
because he realized it's only his old line. Everyone has a plan until they get hit. Mike got hit. Nobody knew what hit him. So Taylor, this isn't to rub salt in your wounds, but
it is. As soon as he says that, it sort of is.
My broadcast idol is Chick Hearn, the guy who did the Laker games for 40 years. There's a statue of him outside the stadium. If Chick died in 2002, so a lot of our younger listeners never got to hear him do a game. One night when you've got some time, just type into a YouTube search Chick Hearn. And I mean, there's just never been anybody close. He was the best basketball play-by-play announcer I've ever heard before, since ever. He, Chick, was so shocked that Robert Horry made that shot, he forgot to say who made it. Here's Chick's call, and you'll hear Chick sounding like Chick doing his thing, and Stu comes in and goes, Robert Horry. Chick, listen to this.
Well, here we go. Let's see what happens. Ball out of bounds, sideline. Fox has got it right in front of him. Brings the ball into Shaq out above the three. Shaq gives the ball out, and they get it to the man they want to have it, and that's Kobe. Kobe to the dribble. Kobe underneath, puts it up, no whistle. Shaq made rebound and missed it. 1 second, and the count of it goes.
Chick goes Robert. Stu goes Robert Horry. And Chick was like, the Lakers win the game. I don't believe this just happened. But, do you
know what year was that?
2001.
It's amazing how much technology has changed.
Right. Sounded 1965.
Sounds, yeah, what it was, sounds like it was literally probably some guy with a tape recorder recording an old radio thing. But even then, it's how descriptive Chick is. Like, you know, Fox is here, Fisher's here, they get Shaq. Now the guy, they got it to the guy they wanted to get to, Kobe. And then all of a sudden, so many things happen, Chick just goes, the Lakers win the game. And Stu goes, Robert Horry just hit a three.
John, that was one of the things with Chick where he would call the game and you felt his emotion. You could tell even in his voice, he didn't think they were going to win. Kobe misses.
Yeah.
Right. Shaq misses. Yeah. And then a tip-out just comes. He's probably thinking to himself, is there even enough time? So that was part of it, too. It's like you can even tell in his voice, okay, they're not going to win this game after Shaq and Kobe first missed the shots.
Well, I've been doing a lot of podcasts lately since the Lakers made this deep run in the playoffs, and everybody has been asking me, how are the Lakers doing this? And I said, well, guys, this has been the formula for the Lakers for years. Get two big stars and surround them with people that can make shots under pressure. I said, I can't tell you how many times when the Lakers did their three-peat, I heard other coaches and other fans say, I can't believe we're losing to Rick Fox, Derek Fisher, and Robert Horry.
Yeah.
And it's because they would double-team Shaq, double-team Kobe, and those guys were great at hitting wide-open shots. And then you fast-forward to the Powell-Kobe Lakers, and it was the same thing. It was Derek Fisher hitting wide-open shots, Ron Artest hitting wide-open shots. If you get, and that's why Denver is dangerous, because guys like Michael Porter and KCP and Bruce Brown have been doing that.
Yeah, they've been getting contributions from all of them.
All right, so I want to ask you, Travis Rogers, since you're our resident food guy, what's the Memorial Day barbecue plan?
You know, Sleek kind of talked me into something that I was not planning on doing, and it's kind of super classic, like burgers and dogs.
Clam chowder.
Nothing wrong. Yeah, crab bisque. Crab bisque is good for Memorial Day.
Yeah, burgers, dogs, a little watermelon, a little fruit platter.
Burgers
cold,
and dogs.
Cold beer.
You never go wrong. You never go wrong with a dog.
No.
I mean, seriously, a dog, you get it nice and charred and sort of black.
Yeah. Put it on that top rack so it gets hot and then finish it on the bottom rack.
And the buns,
get
you put the buns on there for a second to get that crispy bun.
I've told you guys this before, but does this make me weird?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I will only put ketchup on a hamburger, and I will only put mustard on a hot dog.
Emily, would you like to take this one? Because she yelled at me. I said the same thing.
I say, by the way, I am in complete alignment.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why are we like that?
Because it doesn't
feel... It's a condiment.
Yeah, there's no good reason, but it's the right decision.
It is the right decision.
But how did we all get there?
Because
we didn't talk about this in advance.
Mustard and ketchup go, like, it's like steak sauce. It goes with beef. It goes
if ketchup,
with...
If ketchup's on your dog, are you not eating it?
Not eating it.
I would offer it to someone else and see if I could get one with just mustard.
I will not eat a hot dog with ketchup on it. That's just not right. I'm a mustard and onions guy.
Yeah, I'm going classic on that. Very quickly, what happens in succession on Sunday night? Who comes out on top?
Kendall?
I'm the only one saying this. I think Shiv is gonna sneak in there like a horse running, coming from the back. I think Shiv's going to take it.
Is Cousin Greg available for me to draft in this
yes,
situation?
Yes, he is. Yes,
by the way,
Cousin Greg is really tight with Mattson now.
I'm listening to a lot of Succession podcasts this week. Do you guys, well, just ask you, who's the youngest Roy kid?
It's Shiv, right?
Roman.
Who do you think, Slee? Do you watch Succession, Slee?
No, I know Connor's the oldest.
I'm the oldest son.
I'm the oldest son.
Greg, do you know?
Roman.
Emily, what do you think? Roman?
Yeah.
It's Shiv.
Yeah, I thought it was Shiv.
So Bill Simmons, Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald, who do a thing called The Watch on The Ringer, have been assuming for years that Succession's like their favorite show.
Yeah.
That Roman's the youngest. And they were talking about how Roman crumbled under pressure when he's given the eulogy, blah, blah, blah. And they said that's often happens with the youngest child. And they did a whole 20-minute rant on the youngest child. And Casey Bloys, the guy that runs HBO, sent him an email saying, you guys know Shiv is the youngest. He went, and they both, Greenwald and Ryan went, no, he's not. No, she's not. So then Bloys called Jesse Armstrong, the creator of Succession, and said, give me the order of the kids by age. And Shiv is the youngest.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just assumed that she was. I don't know why. But Emily dropped this. I had no idea. Did you guys know that Roman has a child or children?
No.
Really?
I know Kendall does. I don't know.
All right, so here's what happened. I looked this up in a People magazine, too. So in the first episode, you see him with kids. He does wear a wedding band. And he has a woman in his life. I know. Go back and rewatch
I did watch episode one, and you're right. I went back and watched episode one this week.
It's his girlfriend, and it's his girlfriend's kids, apparently, is how Kieran explained it.
Oh, okay.
And that he was excited to work with kids, and he wanted to have that be a part of the thing, but then it eventually got scrapped.
Because Roman, the character, should never have kids.
Honestly, there's so much stuff about the setup and exposition that they write in and they drop, and that's the one critique I have of Succession at some points.
I want her to start her MTV podcast at the conclusion of Succession because nobody's more invested in this than she is.
Yeah.
And she's given it multiple Succession layers of thought. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a bunch of really good Succession podcasts.
Here's what's weird. There are absolute leaks out there. Like, if you were to look,
if you want to know, you can know.
You can know
the
explanation. And I don't want to know the explanation. So I've been avoiding Succession articles.
Okay.
And
somebody
podcasts all week.
Sent me an article that I didn't read it.
Yeah.
But that suggests Tom will somehow rise to the top.
I've heard Tom.
Which I would be surprised by.
Well, so go back to the Seinfeld. Wamsbang or whatever it is.
Wamsbang.
The Seinfeld.
If Cousin Greg rises to the top, it would just be the goofiest thing ever.
When the Seinfeld finale was being shot and getting ready to be put on the air,
yeah,
there were all sorts of leaks about it. And they were all kind of right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they had all of these things. They didn't have the whole plot line of it, but they had all these different
the right
scenes.
Idea.
So if they're out there, there's probably a pretty good chance that
some are based
on.
In truth.
Yeah. There's something to it. All right, guys, enjoy the Robert Horry anniversary. Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As I like to say, boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Tyler, did you not give us a good afternoon?
Good afternoon.
I mean, this new kid, Tyler, who Bergman wants me to brand somehow, he won't even chime in on this stuff.
Yeah, you need to start getting into everything.
Get into it. Come on, Tyler.
Well, he's not here every day, though, right?
Most days now
he's going to be here. He's like our... It takes multiple people to produce this show.
He's like, who was the member on the Love Boat? They added like
somebody's
knee.
Whalen.
Yeah, they Jill added Whalen. She was like in half the episode.
Correct, That's going to be Tyler. So what do you got planned for Memorial? What are you going to do? You're going to do a big party, a block party,
none
anything
of the
like
above.
That? No.
No. I'm still like detoxing from the end of the season.
Sure.
So we're hanging. We're going to a big party on Sunday. These neighbors of ours have a big party every year on Sunday that was shut down for 3 years during the pandemic, but it's coming back.
Oh, nice.
So we'll be down there all day Sunday. Probably golf on Monday and then back here Tuesday. Are you going away?
No, not going. I'm going to lay super low this weekend. My Saturdays are sacred, as always. It's called Sacred Saturday. But I did promise to take you guys out for schnitzel on Saturday night. So who's with me?
What time?
7.
That's kind of late.
Yeah. 6?
It's
5?
Like I said, it's only if
4:15.
It's only if we get to play Monopoly for 36 hours.
I'm happy to play Monopoly for 36 hours.
It actually has to be 36 hours and 1 minute.
1 minute, exactly.
Yeah.
Tyler, you in for schnitzel?
I'm in. Let's go.
All right. So Tyler,
you got someone.
One guy who's in.
There you go. You and Tyler for schnitzel. Boy, I'm sad I'm missing that.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Don't worry, John. I'm with you.
It's going to be a blast.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. I drove well. By the way, everybody be careful driving today. Do not drive like me all weekend long. Be careful. Now, you won't grill out? You won't barbecue?
Oh, this thing is barbecue on Sunday. This party. Yeah.
You guys,
it's got like 200 people
out. Make some ceviche. What are you going to do?
Nothing. Just chilling at home.
No, I'm going golfing.
Are you? Now, can you golf?
On Monday. Can I golf? Yes, I can golf.
Are you good at golf?
I've golfed with Bergman.
I'm
He's better
enough.
Than you.
Yeah, what does Bergman shoot?
Greg, what did I say? If I had to predict, you would shoot between 90 and 100.
Correct.
Okay.
Is that where you are, 90 yeah. and 100?
Mm-hmm. You would shoot like 120.
I would shoot 120.
My drives are going about 280, 285 now.
Yeah, my drives aren't even clearing the carry at Black.
Your drives are hitting cones?
Yeah, they're hitting cones. Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
I'm a scratch.
So I wanted to mention, because it's coming soon, the Mandy Awards you should vote for. Go to ESPN LA and vote for the Mandy Awards. I think the deadline is in just 5 days.
Yeah, 31st.
So you should hurry up and vote on those. So I don't know if you were watching TNT. Well, first of all, I lost all my bets last night.
Well, and I'll say it again. You guys can continue to ignore me. Miami's in trouble. Boston is going to pull this off.
You think Boston's coming back?
I've thought it for 3 days.
Oh, I think
I thought it as soon as they won game four.
Yeah.
I thought this is exactly the scenario where teams that are down 0-3 come back from. The Celtics have better players.
Yep.
The Celtics are the better team.
Yep.
I hate the Celtics, and so this is making my life miserable.
Right.
But I can see it. Miami got another injury to Gabe Vincent.
Yep.
So now Vincent's out. Tyler Hero's out. Victor Oladipo's out. The Celtics, all the Celtics have to do now is win 2 games.
Yeah.
They're going to come
Boston.
And really all they need to do is to win 1 to force the game 7.
Right.
Yeah, you just got to focus on
the
1.
Well, they're not a great home team in the playoffs. They're 11-11 at home over the last 2 years. But Miami better win
Miami's
tomorrow
closer.
Night.
I'm going to put a bunch of money on Miami as soon as I figure out what it was. Last night I had Miami plus 8.5. I lost 30,000. I had a 5-leg parlay. 3 of them hit.
Okay.
3 of the 5. Caleb Martin,
I'm an expert in that.
Caleb
hitting
Martin
3 out of 5 on a parlay.
Jason Tatum over 2.5 turnovers. Marcus Smart points and assists over 18. He scored like 20-something. Jimmy Butler over 28.5 was a loser, and Kyle Lowry was terrible. Kyle Lowry was just awful.
It was funny. Yesterday, we even said Jimmy Butler 20.5. We're like, that's not the
best
bet.
Yeah, but
it's
my bet. It's not your bet.
No, I know, but you had John and I both telling you not to.
Why would I listen to you guys?
Yeah, he's way ahead of us.
Yeah, but you would have won if you did.
I'm winning mythical money.
You would have gone under.
I had just hit a big parlay.
Each one of us has won at least one mythical money title, right?
Correct.
So this will break the log. I think we've done it for 4 years, and we've each won 1 year. So this is the proverbial rubber match.
And I would argue that probably there. Do you think there's a way, Ireland, that you could ever catch the numbers right now? I am at $457,000.
Yeah.
Jorge at $391,000.
I like how you brag about it now since you're in the lead. Every day you're going to remind us that you're over 400.
Why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't I?
I never did it. It's fine.
What are you talking about? You never did it.
You
did it all the time.
You did it nonstop.
You had a whole board at home that you were talking about.
The reason I'm losing, I deleted it.
I have a betting board. You deleted your board.
If I had to handicap who's going to win.
Yeah.
I would pick Jorge.
No!
I think he'll blow the lead. And see, because Jorge will do something that you and I won't.
What?
He'll bet against the LA teams.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And because we bet more with our hearts than our heads, he has an advantage.
I'll take Rams plus 13.5 over the Niners.
What game?
You might get more points than that.
I may be close.
I mean, let you have that right now.
Yeah. All right. So it's Effing Friday. And
I
pull into the garage today. There's nobody here.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
I normally have to look for a parking space, and I just took whatever space I wanted today.
I think Memorial Day weekend starts Thursday night. Is that fair to say? It certainly starts Thursday night around here.
Have you guys noticed, life in general has changed since the pandemic. I think fewer people go into work, period.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's just like, especially this building.
Yeah.
A couple of friends of mine are lawyers, and their law offices, they just shut down their offices because they didn't want to pay the rent.
Yeah, my brother Travis works like 4 days a week from home and goes to the office 1 day a week.
Right.
So there's a ton of that stuff going on. Now, you mentioned parties. I want everybody, John, get out your iCal or your calendar or wherever.
Never use it.
Okay, never use it. All right, so remember this.
Well, I do. What is it?
July 22nd, Mason party.
Yeah, I'm not putting that in.
Now, you're not even coming to the party?
No, I'll go to the party. I'll go to the party. I want to go to the party. Those are fun.
Parties,
your parties are actually very fun. I was expecting John to say if it was any other day.
No, I'm actually in town that day, I think. I think I go on vacation. Oh, no, it's at the end of my vacation, I think. We'll see.
Yeah. No, you got to be at the party. The party's going to be huge this year.
I think I'm out.
It's been 3 years since we've had one of the big parties. I think it's been since December of 2019.
Sounds
about
right.
Since we've thrown a big party.
Are you going to get a big cake with your face on it?
No, it's not my birthday.
I'm not coming if you don't get a cake with your face on it.
You know, it's your 60th birthday. I may get a cake with your face on it.
Well, what you'll do is get a cake. It'll have a big shot of your face and then a small one with me, down at the bottom.
And with a walker.
Well, you didn't even, it was a triple birthday the time you had your last party. It was you, Amanda, and Lisa, my wife, all had a birthday in the same week, and you just did a cake with your face.
I believe I had cupcakes for them.
You had no cupcakes. But you did your cake with your face on it. It was good.
Yeah, it was. It was
fun. We brought chips, I remember. We brought different flavored chips.
Yeah, that's right. It was a chips party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Michael is adamant that we should all bring nothing.
I'm bringing something just to annoy him. Just to annoy him.
What is the most annoying thing we could bring to upset Michael?
What about...
Something with germs.
Oh, yeah. Something with germs.
No, bring him a bowl of something, like a bowl of pretzels where everyone will reach it.
Straight from a
It'll
bar.
Drive him crazy.
A bowl of pretzels.
It'll drive him crazy.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we're talking about Succession. Vegas actually has a line, John, on who is going to quote-unquote win Succession.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to bet mythical money on my girl Shiv.
So we will do that coming up next. Mesa in Ireland, it is
It Friday
on 710 ESPN.
Was that real or did you play the button?
If you go to the zoo this weekend... That's what the elephant sounds like. And by the way, you know what the lion sounds like?
Roars!
That's Andy Kamenetsky. Roar. I'm telling you, it's Effing Friday.
Okay, good.
So everybody around here watches Succession except Horton. So I have got, there are Vegas odds, John, on who is going to quote-unquote win Succession. Now, throw out the idea that you said earlier that maybe nobody wins and everybody gets a piece of the pie. Who winds up top of
the mountain? That's not an original thought. Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald were talking about it on The Watch. They said that they think it could get resolved, that there isn't a clear-cut winner, that nobody gets named head of Waystar, that they split up the pie.
Right.
It was basically their idea.
So Vegas thinks somebody's going to win and everybody else is going to lose. Now, who do you think the favorite is?
Kendall.
Kendall is plus 200. So that is the favorite.
2-1. Okay.
2-1. Let's see. Who do you think is next?
Roman.
No, it's actually Shiv. She's also at 2-1.
I can't get any value on my bet.
So there are two favorites. At number three is Lucas Mattsson at plus 350.
Well, but wouldn't she, if he rises to the top, he would take Shiv with him.
Yeah, it was kind of...
Well, we don't know that.
No, we don't. You're right.
He just said that it would be an American CEO.
An American CEO.
Which is Greg.
Which is where Greg comes in at plus 500. So here's the Greg, at least this is my, and I haven't read any spoilers are out there or anything like that. But my thought is, okay, Mattsson wants somebody to be the American CEO and wants a puppet. Who is better at being a puppet than Cousin Greg?
Maybe nobody ever.
Yeah, nobody in history, right?
Yeah.
Jerry, Frank, and Carl are also at plus 500. Next is Tom Wamsgans, which I hate.
Yeah, that's just a weird name.
Who, when they were writing that, Wamsgans.
It's a tribute to somebody.
He's plus 700. And the longest shot on the board, Roman, plus 1,000. And I think that's right. After he broke down at the eulogy, I thought he looked like just a baby. Just a baby.
And then he walked into the middle of the street where all those people were walking by.
Walked into the rest. I mean, he just lost his mind.
Yeah, that was weird.
So I say it's going to be Kendall. I went back and watched the very first episode of the show this week, which is actually, you should do before the finale. It's great. But it was going to go to Kendall. He was going to be the guy. I think he winds up being the guy at the end. And you think Shiv's going to pull the fast
one. I do. I think Shiv's going to weasel her way to the top. But none of these people are redeemable, so it's not like we're rooting for anyone to get there. It's just very interesting to see who does.
It will be. So, John, I've got something that's going to make you angry. Do you want
to
do that? Okay, so the NBA Competition Committee wants to add a second challenge to NBA games, Coach's Challenge, if you get the first one right. How do you feel? A second Coach's Challenge.
All right. I got to give this speech again. Anything that stops the game unnecessarily is bad. The NBA is an entertainment product. if we went to a play or a movie and they stopped it and reviewed the last scene for 20 minutes
yes.
so we all could dissect it, would that make it better or worse? This is one of two things they're discussing, Mace, that is stupid. Okay. The theory behind this is if you challenge and get your challenge right, you shouldn't be penalized.
Correct.
You should get another one. So I assume if you get your under this thing you're talking about, if you get your challenge wrong, it's gone.
You don't have any more challenges.
Right. The other thing they're talking about doing is calling a technical foul if you flop.
Yes.
How are they going to decide who's flopping?
That's a very tough call. Now,
why are we adding more stoppages to the game? That's what I'm against. I'm against stopping the game unnecessarily for any reason.
Okay, so the flopping thing, I think, is okay in this respect. If you're Trae Young or Steph Curry or Damian Lillard or one of those guys who likes to shoot from the logo and then fling their body around hoping to bump into somebody, right? Or hoping that somebody closes your landing space or
right.
anything
the
like that.
The old Reggie Miller move.
I am in favor of that being a technical and the ball.
Well, right now it's a foul. You can't do it.
Correct.
You can't kick your legs out. Why isn't that enough? Why do you want to add more free throws? Who wants to see more free throws?
So you're against this concept entirely.
Correct.
The technical foul for the flopping.
No.
Now, it is very difficult. It's a complete judgment call.
Right. If you and I are playing basketball and I bowl you over, there's a very good case that we both could think we're right. And so now we're going to add another element. If the ref agrees with one of us, we're going to add another free throw to it?
Yeah.
Why?
I would disagree with you if I disagreed.
why are we adding more stoppages?
Bergman, we talked about this morning. The idea of a judgment call on a flop is really difficult.
It's impossible. And so many guys are going to get away with it. Like Nikola Jokic got away with it over and over and over again. Austin Reeves gets away with it
yeah.
all the time. And it's just impossible to figure out. So, I mean...
And then you're going to have reviews. Was that a flop? Was that not a
right,
flop?
Let me,
coach John, is going to challenge with his second
okay,
challenge
so,
on whether or not that was a flop.
Baseball runtime has gone down so much.
Yeah, they
right?
they get it.
They get it. And now MLB or NBA is going to be a longer game than a baseball game.
Right, which is insane. I am so against adding more stoppages. I would make changes the other way. If I was Adam Silver, I would say, don't bring me any ideas that stop the game more than it
right.
does
I
now.
I would get rid of the coach's challenge.
I would get rid of replay until 2 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, the thing I can't convince you of, but one day you'll come around. One day you will see
agree.
The light,
I
is
won't.
A no-foul-out rule.
I won't see that.
Why are we taking stars off the
we'll,
court?
We'll not see that.
I paid money to see Steph Curry. If he gets four fouls, they take him out for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
what good does that do anybody?
I have no problem. There's a strategy game. You will never twist my arm on that. But in terms of instant replay, you've kind of caught up to me. Call on the floor, man.
Yeah.
Just go with the call on the floor.
They did it for 50 years, and it was fine.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why it... Why they think this makes the game better. It
right.
doesn't. There's been a huge increase in technical fouls because these refs think that they can't be quote-unquote disrespected.
Right.
So the legends of the game, the Jess Kerseys and the Jake O'Donnells and the Mindy Rudolphs, who got disrespected for 30 years and just gave it right back to the players were wrong? No. They handled it. A good ref handles the game. And one
manages, yeah.
Mace.
Handles.
I can tell you this for an absolute fact as somebody who watches 100 NBA games in person every year. You can call a foul on every play if you want.
Right.
Every single play. And the great players, people like LeBron and AD, either get fouled or commit a foul every time they have the ball.
Right.
So if you want to, you can do this. You can add flopping and additional challenges and more so. I would move the other way. I would say right now, after the fifth foul, you're in the bonus and go to the free throw line. I do what college does. Move it up to 7 or 10 fouls. I don't want to see more free throws. Nobody does. Who wants to? Here's another idea somebody gave me once. If a team keeps fouling, you know, to stop the game to
right.
try and catch up, let anybody on the other team shoot the free throws. That completely eliminates hack-a-shack, and teams
right.
will stop fouling.
So you don't like you would get rid of the foul game at the end of games?
Of course. I mean, they would still happen. But
that's a total strategy.
Right, but how about this? You foul at the end of a game.
Yep.
And I'm the team ahead.
Yep.
I get to pick Austin Reaves every single time
send
to shoot
your best
the free
throw shooter. Yeah,
or Steph Curry. Then you'll play defense.
Then it's pointless to play the foul game.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's the way I would work towards. They're adding more stoppages. I would take away some.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. Plus, can you talk in a Boston accent? There is one well-known sports guy who definitely cannot. I'll play that for you coming up next. Plus, the wheel of questions. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Questions time, man. Let's see what comes up. All right. This is good. So, Jim Harbaugh, head coach at Michigan, was recently asked, what's the thing you would be doing if you weren't being a head coach and so busy all the time? And
right.
You know what his answer was? Mowing the grass.
Mm-hmm.
He says that mowing the grass is one of his favorite things and he doesn't have time to do it. What is the mundane thing that brings you the most pleasure?
Laundry.
Laundry.
I can get any stain out of any shirt or any pair of any clothing item there, and if I can't, it haunts me.
It
haunts me. I've got like every stain remover known to man in my house, and I will attack the stain vigorously. And if I don't get it out, I'm disappointed in myself.
So you love doing the laundry.
I do.
And
I told Lisa, we need to have an arrangement.
Yeah.
Stay out of my laundry room. I don't like her going in there.
It's your laundry room.
Jack and I.
Wow.
My son and I have taken over the laundry, which Lisa, by the way, is quite okay with.
I'm sure.
Like when I go on a 2-week road trip, I'll come back and the hamper is like stacked up here. I go, how can you live like this? And she says correctly, you told me stay
don't
out of the laundry,
the laundry
room.
So yeah. I have an ESPN LA half zip that has a stain on the right side.
Do you have it here?
Give it to Jim. I don't have it here.
Bring it in.
You can get it out.
He's got
bring it. I will attack it.
Got...
I will attack it big time.
Oh, I won't wear it now because I can't stand that there's that stupid stain right there.
Bring it in.
Oh,
bring it in.
All right.
Okay.
Stain
clothes.
Okay,
wonderful.
Bergman, most mundane thing that you get a lot of pleasure from?
Legos. Just sitting and putting
playing
together Legos. Yes, I love it so much. It shuts my brain completely off. I just follow the steps, make something great, and I can have the TV on or whatever's going on behind it. I
interesting.
Love Legos.
Playing with the Legos. All right, Tyler.
You know what's funny is I do the laundry at home, and I love doing the laundry, and I agree with John that there's just a sense of peace when you're doing the laundry. You can just check out and do it. Same thing with Legos. I actually build Legos as well. But I'm going to say here, my favorite thing to do is clean the dishes.
Clean the dishes.
Yep.
I got
like
plenty in my sink.
A,
you're welcome to them.
You washing the dishes the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. So my wife typically
Do you have
does,
a dishwasher?
We don't. My wife typically does the cooking, and the agreement is if you cook, you don't clean. So
that's
I'm
a good deal for
okay
you.
Yeah,
cleaning.
That is good. That is good.
It's like folding the laundry. I just kind of get to check out and clean the dishes.
Okay, Jorge, most mundane thing you get the most pleasure from?
Washing my car.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Cleaning it out because might they make some mess in the back.
So is it just cleaning it, out the car
cleaning
or is it
car,
washing
the whole thing?
Washing
you know,
the whole
detailing
thing?
The whole
waxing?
Thing.
By the way,
the
no,
waxing. Wax on.
Well,
wax
first
off.
Of all, what is this answer for you?
My answer is loading the dishwasher.
All right, so kind of like
to
Tyler.
Me, it's like doing a puzzle, figuring out what fits. Oh, that'll
real-life
fit
Tetris.
There.
Yeah, there
yeah exactly. It's like a big Rubik's Cube trying to make sure, okay, the big dishes here. If I put the little dishes here, then the cups go here and the glasses go here. Like, I love that whole process and seeing how much stuff I can get into the dishwasher for it to work.
I lost another remote today.
Oh, no. Oh.
Amazon, the Amazon Fire Stick remote gone.
Did Murphy
small,
the dog
right?
eat it?
Yes.
Murphy the dog is eating everything.
Eating it to the point of doesn't like swallow it whole, but chews it up bad enough where it no longer works.
Wow.
So it's now the third remote I've had to replace. So This is totally on us because we know he's teething and he's going through this and we're too stupid to put the remotes either in a drawer or up high.
Right.
And he just keeps getting them. But if you walk out of the, here's what happens. Like last night I was watching the NBA game.
Yep.
I walked downstairs to change the laundry.
Yep.
And when I came back up, I did not notice that Murphy had confiscated the remote, which was next to the massage chair. And then this morning I woke up and it was gone. I mean, not gone,
just
but
gone.
It was damaged to the point of no return and I had to order.
How old is Murphy the dog?
Less than one.
Well, that's the thing. So, like, we don't get puppies. We only get one-year-old dogs.
You're
we
smart.
Want them after they've done
all the damage,
right? So we had one puppy, and after that, we were like, I think it was Sophie. Sophie just chewed everything up, and we were like, from now on, one-year-old dogs. We're getting one-year-old dogs.
Very smart move by both of you.
And it is working. We're about to get another dog. It was it came down to either a kid or a dog, and I went kid. By the way, it is Miami plus 2.5 tomorrow night. So Boston is a 2.5-point favorite. Give me $30,000 mythical dollars on the Heat plus the 2.5.
Wrong side of the bet.
$30,000
mythical dollars.
All right.
Don't all right me.
I actually kind of agree with you.
Wait a minute. Who's favored?
It is Boston's favored. Boston's a 2.5-point favorite at Miami tomorrow night.
Yeah, they're going to win. I like the fact you get points.
Yeah, I'm taking those points.
But you're going to lose that bet.
Hey, Momo just walked in. I said, Momo, why don't you walk over after TV and say hi? We're gonna do that. Momo.
Yeah. What?
Look alive. Come on in.
This she just got here. She's saying pleasantries. Let her say hello to the people.
Baby Daniel, baby Jacob, all that
What's up?
What's up? What's going on? I saw you.
Ramona, don't you agree with me that Mason's going to lose that bet tomorrow? He's betting on Miami to win
plus 2.5.
I think Boston's got their number
Boston's
now.
Got it.
Do you think Boston's going to win the series?
They're the bet. They've always been the better team. Okay, so this is a really interesting thing about both of these teams. They both play their best when there's no pressure on them, when they're not supposed to win, right? Miami is the 8 seed the whole time.
Yep.
So every single game they've gone into, they've been the underdog. Every series, no one picks them. Now all of a sudden they get up 3-0, and it's like, ooh, now you're supposed to win.
Right.
Now the pressure's on.
Now my Boston's playing footloose and fancy free over there.
And the thing about, so if you want to get into the stats of it all. A little stats.
Give me some sassy stats.
So the Heat had 13 turnovers in 3 quarters last night.
Whew.
13 like live ball turnovers. So this is just like early. This is before you even got to the fourth, and they only took 23 threes, which means you're not even getting the shots that you want anymore. Plus, I don't know if Gabe Vincent's going to be back at all.
Yeah, like, they've been hit with too many injuries.
Yep.
Boston, like Ramona said, Boston's a better team, and now that they've got this down to just needing to win 2 games, I think the Celtics are going to be the first team in NBA history to come back from 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, it just...
And by the way, then I think they lose to Denver in the finals.
Okay, but
I think Denver
this
does
is what
win
could totally happen. This is absolutely...
Remember me by accident. I didn't hit it.
But Boston has been great when you don't expect them to be great. Right.
Right.
So when Jason Tatum's 1-for-14, then he goes, okay, now I'm going to be good because my back's against the wall. Same thing game 7. They get down by 15. They come back and win. It would be so Celtics to force a game 7 and then lose.
Then lose game 7, yeah.
That would be so Celtics.
In Boston. Where they're 11-11 at home in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think the Lakers are going to do?
Okay. I think they're going to keep Reeves and Hachimura. I think the numbers really matter. And I'm going to tell you how this is framed. And it's something we'll be going to talk about all the time. Can we get just a tiny bit wonky?
Yes.
Please do.
A little wonky. Yeah. I don't think people have quite seen this yet.
No, if you want wonky, this is a good spot for it. Go ahead.
All of the teams in the NBA have basically 1 year to get under what's called this second apron. Okay.
Which is incredibly crippling, including
it's horrible.
So takes away all your of luxury tax.
Correct.
And if you go over it, it takes away all your exceptions.
Right.
The mid-level, the mini mid-level, all of them.
Buyouts,
all that stuff.
So essentially what happens is if you're over that, you just can't improve the team. Like you're just
Is why Golden State probably won't keep everybody.
But they have one more year. So they could keep everyone for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers are not where Golden State or the Clippers are, but they could be depending on the kind of contracts they give to their guys this summer. So if you go big on Austin Reeves and Hachimura and D'Angelo or whoever else you bring in addition to that, if you give Lonnie Walker some money or Schroeder, now you're going to be really pushing that second apron. And so we call it a second apron, but it's really a hard cap. It's not.
Yeah, right. They kind of negotiated a cap in without calling it
a
cap.
Clever.
Like it's like, you know, the NBA started off by saying, we got to do a hard cap. And the players said, we can't do a hard cap.
Now, this second apron is so punitive that it's
basically
essentially
a hard cap.
Yeah.
So it's the biggest domino that is going to fall for the Lakers is Anthony Davis is due for a huge contract extension in August. He can go 3 years, and I think it's essentially $40 or $50 million a year. They probably should do that, lock him in for the future. But if you do that, and then you have long-term deals for those other guys, you're right up against the second apron on everything you do, the de facto hard cap.
All right, what's a guy like Hachimura worth?
I think he's probably worth 14 to 16 a year.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Now, here's a hard one.
Austin.
Well, Austin's going to be dictated by the market,
Austin,
right?
I mean, I read something today. It said they think he could crack $100 million.
He could. Okay, so the teams that
I think the most he can make is 98.
98. I think you're right, John. Yeah. But it's... you know, the San Antonio Spurs are the team I think people watch with him. I think Indiana would be a team because all those teams have money and they can outspend the Lakers. They can.
I read today Houston has interest in him.
Houston,
although
right?
Can they outspend? They can't really outspend the Lakers
because it's the weird Gilbert Arenas rule. The Lakers can only give him 4 years and like $50 million.
Correct. Yeah.
So what they can do is those teams can do a contract which is like structured in a way that the Lakers will not want to match it, even though they might want to match the total dollars. They'll go like $6 million, $6 million, and then $20 million a year.
This right. happened with Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, and Tyler Johnson too.
Right.
Yep.
When Jeremy Lin, you know, went nuts in New York,
yeah.
The Knicks, everybody thought, well, of course the Knicks are gonna keep him. And then I think it was Houston back-ended an offer that just the Knicks couldn't match.
So I read for Austin 14, 14, 27.
The most 27. he can make in the first year is 11.
Right.
No matter who he plays for.
11, 12, 27, yeah. 27. Yeah. Was kind
of I have a feeling they're going to keep him no matter what, Momo, even if some team backloads that contract. But I think then you go soft on Hachimura, and I think Kyrie is probably a no. What do you think?
I think Kyrie's using the Lakers for leverage to get 4 years out of Dallas.
Yep.
But I do think the Lakers have genuine interest in Kyrie. I just don't know that they would go 4 years either.
What about D'Lo?
If you could do the two-year contract,
2 years, 20?
I'd even do a one-on-one with him.
Yeah,
I would go, okay, 2 years for 40, and the second year is a team option. So it's basically you can be a free agent next year. Now, here's what I think. Here's where I think things get really interesting, and this is going to be great content for you guys going forward. Okay, every time I look at the moves the Lakers made, that's Rob Pelinka in his front office, the creativity and the way that they got these players back sets up so well for trades at the draft and approaching free agency. Like Malik Beasley and Mo Bamba have the greatest contracts. Malik Beasley, they're both team options.
Same with Jared Vanderbilt.
Right.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt too.
Yeah.
Beasley is $15 million. Bamba is $10 million. And they're team options. And it's like, I think it's June 29th. So those are great contracts for a team that like wants to get off money.
Right.
Or if you like one of those players, you can have them on an expiring deal. But if you trade for, let's say at the draft, you package Beasley and Mo Bamba, that's $25
million. Right.
Let's say
and you throw a number one pick in. They have their own number.
Both with team options.
Yeah, they have their own number one pick too.
Yeah,
they could
right.
throw that
so
in there.
Number 17 or whatever it is.
Toronto.
Yeah.
And Fred VanVleet has 22.
Who, oh, by the
8.
Way, then this is something, not nothing. Clutch guy.
Yep.
Oh, Fred, see, I love VanVleet.
Fred VanVleet
recently signed with Clutch.
Yeah, I love VanVleet.
Okay. If you, I mean, look at all the players that are right in that $25 million range. Okay. Now you could even throw in a Max Christie or somebody else on the roster to
right.
get that up closer to 30. There's a lot of players who make about $30 million, who make in that range that could really help the Lakers, and the teams that would be trading them could basically use those contracts as a get out of jail card because they don't have to pick up the player option
right.
going forward.
I've heard more and more. You did a really good job of explaining all that because I've heard more and more names come into the picture when you consider everything Ramona just explained.
Yeah.
For example, DeJounte Murray.
Yep.
Oh,
really
one year
good,
left.
Really DeJounte good player.
Murray. Yeah.
You know, out there. If I even like DeJounte Murray more than Trae Young, and I love Trae Young.
Oh, I like DeJounte Murray.
But DeJounte
Murray
fits
more
what the Lakers
Young,
do better.
Yeah.
Right. And DeJounte
he's a defensive
defends.
Point guard. Also a clutch guy, by the way.
Yeah. And so now all of a sudden you start to, like you always say, Mace, Pelinka can see the whole board.
He can see the whole board.
And we can't.
We don't necessarily know all
I mean,
the Momo knows
that
all
whole
the stuff.
Free agency line that he came up with.
Yeah.
It's kind of brilliant. It's really like they got, everybody got their audition.
Yep.
and they got their pre-agency with the Lakers. Some people did better than others, but they
gave
themselves...
Hachimura and Reeves nailed it.
Yeah,
Beasley and Bamba not so much.
Yep,
Russell probably not. You know, it all depends.
But they
on...
all have really good contracts. Like they're really flexible options, and I don't know. I think the Lakers are very well positioned going into, and we say the offseason, but what I really mean is the draft.
Yeah.
Because those team options, they expire before the offseason.
Right.
So you have to make a decision before, I think it's June 29th.
All right. Can you hang around?
Yeah,
stay.
Okay.
Also, we'll do 2 o'clock call of the day. 2 o'clock call of the day. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. You hear Momo getting wonky. What do you think
of aprons and stuff?
The apron. Yeah, if you got a question about the second apron, now is the time to ask it. While we got Momo here, you heard some of the names floating around. D'Angelo Russell, do you want him back? Van Vliet, DeJounte Murray. Some of these guys are really intriguing names. Plus anything. Dodgers getting ready to open a series at Tampa, which is the best team in all of baseball. We got all that coming up for you today. 877-710-ESPN for the 2 o'clock call of the day. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.